paint them and see what they are like. We're not going to pay a lot of attention to details. We can spend time asking very detailed questions about all kinds of things. But because this is a picture revelation, we're going to just be looking at pictures and get an overall impression of the glory of Christ, of the glory of heaven, and of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, since this is for a suffering church, we might say, maybe it's written for people other than us. Maybe it's written for people in Burma who had to escape. Maybe it's written for people in China or India or Nigeria. Around the world, much, much suffering. There are many places around the world where you would not want to speak about the fact. In fact, you're not allowed to speak about the fact that you are a Christian. Those are Christians who are suffering. I remember in Taiwan, when we lived there, Christians sometimes would ask us, what would you say if your life depended upon denying your faith? Because some of them had lived in that environment and had come to Taiwan. Today, then, what we want to do is look at these pictures, and we will try to see in these pictures at least three things. First of all, the exaltation and glory of Jesus Christ as he is right now in heaven. And secondly, we want to pick up as we go along some of the connection between the Old Testament and this book of Revelation, which is the completion of the New Testament, the completion of God's work in this world. We are going to see that the Old Testament and the New Testament is one large story, a story of God's amazing saving work, and it ends in victory for God's people. And thirdly, we will see in this the connection, the relationship between God, our Father, the Son, and somewhat the Spirit as well, but God the Father and the Son, because the Son comes here to do the Father's will and work, and in the end, he has completed that work, and it has been done in perfect order and in victory for the people of God. Now, as we begin reading this passage of Scripture, the book of Revelation, we immediately see something of the glory of Jesus Christ. This is, we read in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him about the things that are soon to take place. Now, when he says soon to take place, this is the period of time in which the completion of all things will take place. And so with Jesus Christ entering into glory, sitting at the Father's right hand, we are entering into this period, and these things have begun and will be carried out to the very end. Dear friends, this is truth. This is what will happen, what will take place. The story then, the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to John, his servant John, that John then gave to the church, he gave to us. So God wants us to know the things that will soon take place, that will take place to the very end. This is the final end of the story. Now we receive grace from him who was and is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne and from Jesus Christ, who died, rose, and rules all the kings of the earth. But in chapter 1, he says, and to him, verse 5, the last part of verse 5, and to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom. Christ completed his work on earth. He freed us from our sins. Dear friends, we are freed from our sins through the work of Christ. That is an amazing and wonderful thing. We don't carry them anymore. We're freed from them. Freed from our sins through Jesus Christ, through his blood. And he has worked in us, making us a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. That's who we are. That's how Jesus has worked in us. And to him, to this Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Then he goes on. He says, you know, this Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, when it is the right moment, the Father's will, Jesus will come again. And every eye will see him. Your eye will see him. My eye will see him. And even those who killed him, they will see him too. He is coming. And those who have opposed Christ and put him to death will mourn. And then we read, now Jesus has words for the churches, for all the churches. This Jesus who died, who reigned, who works, who is coming, he has words for the churches because the churches must live a certain kind of life to the honor of God and in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, write this to the seven churches. Seven, meaning all the churches. 28 times in this book, he uses the word seven again and again. It's a word of completeness, meaning all. In the Old Testament, we met that seven already. There were seven clean animals that went into the ark. They went around Jericho. God's people went around Jericho seven times. 7,000 people, we read in 1 Kings, had not bent the knee to Baal. Seven, seven, seven. Now seven, completeness. All the churches. And Jesus, this one who is coming, he walks among the churches. Who is he? And in Revelation chapter 1, we see a marvelous picture of who Jesus is. He's one who has a robe. In glory, he has a robe. A robe covering his body. He has a golden sash. His feet that are now like blazing in a furnace, bronze in a furnace. He can go anywhere, no longer the dusty feet of this earth. Now this is Jesus, the risen and ascended one. His hair, like wool, white as wool, age, eternity. He is the Christ of eternity. He is a Christ who speaks. He speaks like a mighty rumbling sound of water. A loud voice that controls. He has a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, and this is the sword of God's truth. And everything in the whole world is judged by the sword of God's truth. Everything. Judged by his truth. This is Jesus, the ascended and exalted one. Then in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus walks among the churches. He walks among the churches and he says, church, this is what I see. And what he sees is right. And what he sees is true. He looks at the church and he says, this is what I see. For this, I praise you. For this, I say, repent. Change your way. And if you do, You will receive a crown of righteousness, and you will enter into my glory. Church, pay attention. Pay attention to my will. Pay attention to my command. Then we come to chapter 4. In chapter 4, we have a heavenly scene. Now Jesus says to John, and he says to us, come up here, and I'm going to show you the things that will soon take place. A loud voice, a voice like a trumpet, the same voice he had before. He says, come up here, and I'm going to show you the things that will soon take place. John and we look through the open door of heaven and we see what John saw. Pictures. The first picture that we have is God on the throne. But we don't see a person. We see colors. Colors, jasper and carnelian. Jasper, they say, is like diamond. Brilliant. And carnelian, we are told, is deep red. A couple weeks ago, when we were in Salem, there was a person who gathered stones and polished stones and cut them and bought them and sold them. And he showed us his picture book of stones. And in that picture book of stones, there were stones that were fascinating, brilliant, because he had a light behind them and the light shone through and it was colorful and brilliant and red. And so when John looks at the throne, what he sees is just colors. The brilliance and glory of God, the colors that reflect God. And then he looks and around the throne there's a colorful rainbow, green. An emerald. We don't know how this rainbow covered the throne. We just know that it was a rainbow of promise. Here is God on the throne, fulfilling his promises. The God of truth, the God of righteousness. He is on the throne. And surrounding the throne, there were 24 other thrones. And seated on those thrones were 24 elders. Now we can jump back to the Old Testament and say 24 means this and that and so forth. But again, here's a detail that even the scholars dispute. They don't know either why exactly 24, but there are 24 elders. And these elders are not elders as we know them, because these are elders who speak about the church as something other than themselves. 24 elders sitting around the throne. And they have one function. These are the worshiping. This is the worship team. These are the leaders of worship. They have white robes. Heaven is a place where there is no sin. My dear friends, in heaven, we will be able to look at each other and engage with each other, with the people gathered in heaven, and with the Lord himself in such a way that we are pure, without sin. Whoa, wait for the day. Wait for the day when sin is gone and it is no more. They have white robes, and they have crowns on their heads. We'll see a bit later what they do with the crowns. They have crowns on their heads. And then there is sound coming from the throne. Loud, loud sound. The sounds that we heard when the law was given in the Old Testament Moses' writings. The people of God heard these thunders and lightnings and clouds. This is God, the throne of God, and before the throne, there was a sea. Now, in the Old Testament, there was also a sea at the tabernacle and at the temple. It was where people washed and purified themselves before they entered the temple. Now, this sea is clear as crystal. Washing is done. Here is the sea, perfectly clear. The throne, the elders, the sound, the sea. And then we have four creatures. Four living creatures. Now, you've never seen anything like these, and I have never seen anything like these, and we can only read about them and see them. Creatures like this in Daniel, in the book of Revelation. What are these creatures like? Six wings. Oh, that brings us back to Isaiah. And to the six-winged cherub flying there and praising God, covering themselves with their wings as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Wings and eyes everywhere. These are creatures who represent domesticated animals, wild animals, birds of the air, and man, everything. And these creatures are before the throne. And the peculiar thing about these creatures is they have eyes everywhere. They look and they see, and if there were sin in heaven, they could spot it. They see everything that's going on in heaven, and these creatures see it all. And they know they're in the presence of holiness. God is holy. And continually they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They are continually, night and day, impressed with the holiness of God. And the 24 elders, when they hear them sing the song of heaven, the holiness of God, these elders fall down and they worship, and they take their crowns and lay them down. They're not wearing crowns in opposition. They're wearing crowns that have been given to them. And they take these crowns and they say, "This was given to me." And they fall down and worship God and they say, "Amen." That's how it is. That's how it is in heaven. They worship the one who lives, and then they say this: "You are worthy." Now, that was had a special meaning to the people of that day. "You are worthy." What did it mean? Well, when the emperor or a dignitary entered into a town, the people would see him and say, "You are worthy. You are worthy." And Domitian added something, one of the Roman emperors, he added other words. "You are worthy, Lord and God." He wanted to be called Lord and God. Now in heaven, the same words are sounded. "God, you are worthy." Why? "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "You created everything. There's not an inch of the universe that does not belong to you. You created all things. And by your will, they were created. And by your will, they exist. They have their being." The whole of worship in heaven is saying, "Holy, Creator, I exist, I live by your power and your creative work. You are worthy of all praise, and there is no other worthy one." And then there's one more thing. Now, we saw just light, just beautiful colors before. Then we come to Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, here the one seated on the throne has a hand, a right hand. We hadn't seen any of his person before, but now he has a right hand. And in this right hand, he has a scroll. And now we're able to see detail of the scroll. And the scroll has writing on both sides. The whole thing is full of writing. And it has seals, seven seals. You see, when people wrote a last will and testament in that day, what they did was, everybody who was a witness to that last will and testament put his seal on it and said, this is authentic. So that if there were five people who saw it, there would be five seals. Here, seven seals, totally, completely sealed, unable to open it. Seven seals. And then a mighty angel appears. And this angel says, who is worthy to open these seals? These seals which will reveal the rest of history, the end of the world. Who will bring the world? Who can open this scroll that will bring the world to its end? And the angel looks. There is no one who can open the scroll, neither in heaven, nor earth, nor under the earth, nor in the sky. There is no worthy person to open the scroll. And then one of the elders says, hey, wait. I see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. John is watching this. He's seeing this vision. And there appears the Lion of the tribe of Judah, just exactly as Jacob had called his son Judah. The Lion, he is the Lion. He's the one who's going to reign and rule. He's the mighty one. He looks, he sees this Lion of the tribe of Judah. He can open it. He can bring this to its end. And then he's watching, and suddenly the lion is gone and a lamb appears. Pictures. And the lamb appears, and here it's a lamb as though it had been slain, had its throat cut. The lamb. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, the slain lamb alive. In the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, had seven horns of power and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God belonging to this lamb, to this lamb. And he came and he took the scroll. And folks, that's all it took. He didn't even open it. He just took it. And when he took the scroll, all heaven burst out in praise and glory and adoration, because they then saw that the lion was the lamb who had died. He is the one who died for sin. He is the ruler. He is the one by whom all things judge and are living. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp, the instruments of heaven. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know what? Your prayers are in there. And my prayers are in that bowl. The saints, the prayers of the saints in that bowl. And here these elders, they take this, the prayers of the saints before God. God has heard. God is heard because of the Lamb. And then there is a new song. Heaven bursts out into song. And what does it say? You are worthy. You are worthy, Christ. This is the song of heaven. You want to get in on it? Now you know what it is. Here's the song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You are worthy to bring history to its end because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every language and people and nation and tribe. You purchased people for God. And you have made them, all of them, to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. Oh, Lord, this is what you have done. And then I looked, and there was a voice of many angels. Now it's not only just these creatures and the elders, but many angels. Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, and they encircled the throne. This is a worship service. And the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." That's the song of heaven. To receive power, here, sevenfold acclamations of praise. To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, in the sea, and all that is in them singing this song. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be power and honor and glory forever and ever, eternal God. Praise to you forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. And we together say, Amen. So be it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for showing us, for taking us into the glory of heaven and showing us pictures. Pictures of what is. Pictures of what will be forever and ever. And pictures into which we can enter. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today and teaching us these amazing truths, eternal truths, truths that will bring us to the end of all things in victory and in joy. Hear us, we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Let's rise and sing.